Faith Church, it's a blessing to be with you today. It's a blessing always to be in the house of God. And I was driving over this morning, and it's just such a beautiful morning. And I hadn't been over to this side of the island since coming back to Guam, but all the turns and all the scenery looked just the same, and it was like nothing had changed in the 3 years that I've been, or almost 3 years that I've been gone. So I was stationed at Naval Base Guam for 3 years, 3.5 years, from 2013 to 2017. I've spoken here before, and I appreciate the invitation to be back. Was concerned when I heard that Tom had had a heart event, but glad that you're here. So glad to be able to hopefully bring a word of encouragement to you today that that will encourage your heart. And so we're looking at Psalm chapter 1 today, if you'd like to go ahead and turn there. I think the idea of blessing is something that a lot of people are concerned about. A lot of people are talking about a book these days, Your Best Life. And how can you, and you'll hear it frequently, some people, you ask someone how you're doing, and they say, well, I'm living my best life. And it's this idea of living a blessed life, which is the primary concern here in Psalm chapter 1. But really, it's not just the primary concern of Psalm chapter 1. How we live life is a primary concern in the entire book of Psalms. It's our largest book in the Bible. And throughout the book of Psalms, we see a variety of different emotions. It's a very intimate, personal exploration of how God interacts with us in our emotions and in our daily circumstances. And so it's interesting that the book of Psalms opens with some of these big questions in life. As a chaplain, I'm working now with the Marine Corps, which is quite a change going from the Navy over to the Marine Corps. But I love my Marines, and I'm here now with Marine Aircraft Group 12. So we have several flying squadrons. We have F-35s. We have C-130s. We have F-18s. And so there's a variety of different things that we do, and it is a blessing to be associated with the Marines. The Marine Corps is definitely something different. I'm looking forward to going back to the Navy. So I do have my next set of orders. I'll be going to Port Hueneme, so with the Seabees. So I'll be with the Seabees in my next duty location. So they told me that my next duty station, I'll be clicking in with them mid-deployment. And so I'll get to California, get the family settled in housing, and then I'll come right back to Okinawa. And from Okinawa, they have detachments in Korea and Thailand and Australia and Guam. So probably be back here in another 6 months or so. Sounds about right. And I consider it really the greatest privilege of my life to be able to serve our military service members, with Navy, Marine Corps, wherever we find ourselves. It is truly a blessing to be able to serve them and to be with them. And as I sit with Marines and sailors, you know, and they have questions and concerns, big questions about who am I? What is this all about? What is God's purpose and God's plan for my life? How can I continue to stay motivated and inspired when everything else around me seems so difficult and I'm so far away from home, maybe for the first time? And so these questions, these large questions in life seem to come up again and again. And I think this question that we find here in Psalm chapter 1 is, how can I be blessed? How can I live a blessed life? This is a big question. How can I live a life of fulfillment and happiness? How can I interact with God and interact with my fellow man in a way that brings meaning and purpose to my existence? When Jesus began the most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, he talked about all the different types of people who find blessing in difficult circumstances. And I think it's very interesting that Jesus in the Beatitudes speaks of people who are in difficulty as being blessed. And so these big questions come up again and again, and I'd like to read from Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day, and I thank you for the blessing that we have through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that as we study these scriptures this morning, as we study your word, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would challenge us, encourage us, inspire us, help us to be more like you, and give us the courage to take action on the truth that we see. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. So in this passage, we find three big questions, three questions that I would like to pose to you that are help you think about how you can live a blessed life and experience the greatest blessing. And the first question that we see here, we find in verse 1. First question is, with whom do you associate? With whom do you associate? Now, I want to pause for just a second and just let you know that my mom would be so proud, because for all of my life, for the first 18 years of my life, my mom was the grammar queen. And when I originally wrote this, I wrote, who do you associate with? And I caught myself, because you're not supposed to end a question or a sentence with a prepositional phrase. And so I just want to note here from the very beginning that that my point is grammatically correct. So Mom, if you're listening somehow, some way, I made that change. But my mom was very, as I was a kid growing up, my mom was very keen about who I associated with, who my friends were. She wanted to know who I was hanging out with and what we were doing. She was in my business, and it bothered me because I wanted to just kind of do my own thing and be my own person. But who we associate with is important. And so I wanted two things I want to mention with regard to associations. Number one is just the general principle of association. Associations matter. Who are you associated with? We have Lions Club, we have Elks Club, we have the Navy League, we have all different kinds of groups that we can join. Everyone wants our participation on some level. And we have the option, and there's nothing restricting us from being freely associating with different groups. There's nothing restricting us from freely associating or making friends with someone that we meet. But our associations are very important. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, it says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good morals. And it's true. It's true. If you think back to maybe a time in your younger years, you may have had a time where you were associated with someone who was not on the right path. I know for myself, when I was a younger teenager, I worked at a Christmas tree farm. And I was talking earlier this morning about Christmas tree farms, but I worked on a Christmas tree farm, and some of my coworkers were not the most godly people, and they were on a different path than the path that God had for them. And as a young man, I was interested and I was curious about where that path would lead, and I followed down that path for a brief time. Thankfully, my mom was, again, very interested in who I was associating with, and so she was able to redirect some things in my life. And but bad company can corrupt good morals. In Proverbs chapter 22, verses 24 and 25, it talks about our association specifically with the hot-tempered man. There's several verses, if you look throughout the book of Proverbs, there's several verses about the hot-tempered man. But it says that specifically not to be associated with a hot-tempered person. On the positive end of things, in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, it says that if we walk with the wise, we will grow wise. And if our associations are godly, we will grow godly. If our associations are ungodly, we can follow that plan, that path, very easily. So the first thing that I want to bring to light is just the general principle of associations. That associations and who we associate with is important. It matters. The second thing that I want us to notice is that there's a specific and very subtle progression. So it says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. And there's a progression that we can notice here. For instance, if you were to walk into a restaurant, if you're just walking through and passing through, you might not stop, or you might see someone and you might wave as you're walking on past. But someone that you know a little bit better, you might be tempted to stop and have a conversation. Or someone that you know even better, you might even sit down and join them at their table for a little bit. And so there's a progression to our association. The better we get to know someone, the more likely we are to sit with them. And who we sit with, again, is very important. Who it is that we choose to fellowship with is very important. So who do you fellowship with? You're here this morning. This is a great place to be. I think I can, minus the times that I've been sick, I can count on probably both hands the number of times that I've missed church on Sunday morning. If we were to take all the times that I've been sick, it's very important. My mom, when I was a kid growing up, we were in church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and if there was something on Friday or Tuesday or Saturday, we were there too. I hear frequently from my Marines and sailors, you know, Chaplain, I really appreciate, you know, that you go to church and that you invite me to go to church, but you know, I find that I'm able to connect with God in nature, and I find that I'm just more interested in worshiping God on my own. And that's, and on one level, that's true that we should worship God on our own, and it is true that we can find God in nature. And God in nature is the same on Tuesday as he is on Thursday, as he is on Saturday, as he is on Sunday. And I can be in nature on a Tuesday or a Saturday or a Thursday and find God and experience God. But there's one day of the week when his people gather together. And I find God in a special way when God's people gather together. And it says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, that where two or three gather together in my name, there am I with them. So we always know that God is with us, that he walks with us on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But he's here with us in a special way when we gather for the single purpose of uniting our hearts in worship and praise of our God. And we should be here. We should associate with those who are worshiping God. And so just as there is a subtle progression in a negative way, there can also be a progression in a positive way when we choose to affiliate and associate with those who are seeking God. From whom do you get your advice? I have alerts that pop up on my phone, and I get all kinds of little notifications that say, you know, this happened in the news, or the Cardinals won today. Yes, the St. Louis Cardinals won this morning in baseball. And so I'm able to get information from a lot of different sources, but where do I seek my advice? One of my favorite authors is Charles Swindoll. And so whenever I'm studying a passage of Scripture, I'll go and I'll pull a book off the shelf and I'll remember that he talked about this particular passage in this book. And I want to know what Charles Swindoll thinks, because I like the way he puts things and his particular style. And I look to, even though I've never met him in person, I look to his insight and wisdom. There may be someone like that for you that you really appreciate. Maybe there's a friend that you have that you always seek their advice. But there's one place where we can always get advice that never fails. Do we seek advice from the Scriptures? I was thinking of Proverbs chapter 6. And sometimes when we find ourselves alone, like the and not associated in positive fellowship, godly relationships, like the young man in Proverbs chapter 6. Perhaps the young man in Proverbs chapter 6 might have made the argument, you know, I just worship God on my own, and it works for me. But when I'm out of a relationship, out of a positive, godly relationship, and I'm off for a walk all by myself, and I walk down the sidewalk in Tumon, there are plenty of distractions, and there are plenty of voices calling out to me, causing me to maybe question what I think is right. But if I'm connected in a godly association, it's much more difficult for me to venture off the straight and narrow path. And so the first question that we need to answer from Psalm chapter 1 is, with whom do we associate? And the answer, I think, is clear. The second question from this passage that we need to answer is, what do I think about? What do I think about? It says of the blessed man, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. The person who is blessed thinks about God's law and commands. And you probably have notifications on your phone, just like I have on mine, that pop up first thing in the morning. All kinds of news from the States. But what is it that we think first about? I get in my car and I turn on the radio. Nothing wrong with the radio. But immediately when I turn on the radio, I'm thinking about what they want me to think about. I listen to Christian radio. I love Guam because we have Christian radio in Japan. We have AFN, and that's a fantastic, resource. But it's but it's not necessarily positive or encouraging music. And so I have some sermons that I listen to in my car. But I take the opportunity to direct what I think about. I choose whether I'm going to pick the remote control up and turn the TV on and tune in to what someone else is thinking about. What we do in life is always preceded by what we think. What we do is always preceded by what we think. And our ideas have practical consequences in our actions, and they will eventually manifest themselves in our behaviors. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, the Apostle Paul writes, verses 4 and 5, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What we think about is important. And there's no better place to get the correct ideas about how to live and how to think and how to behave than the scriptures themselves. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, Paul is praying for the Ephesians. And he says this in verse 16, "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." What we think about is important. What do you think about? What is it that captures your thought first thing in the morning? If you go to a construction site, you might see a sign that says, "Safety first." Have you seen those signs? Or perhaps if you go to a school, you might see a sign that says, "Students first." If you go to a hospital, you might see something like, "Patients first." This is our priority. This is what is most important to us in this particular place. What is your priority? What is it that you think about first? In the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 33, it says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you as well." This is our priority, not just on Sunday morning, but especially on Sunday morning. As believers, as followers of Christ, our priority should be to seek first his kingdom. Kingdom first. That's our sign. Maybe we should get some t-shirts made. But first thing in the morning, seeking the kingdom, thinking about the kingdom. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, it says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Thoughts that are captive to to the power of Christ at work in our life. These need to be our priority. And the book of Psalms reminds us of this, that what we think about is important. The third question we find here in Psalm chapter 1 is, what will your legacy be? In verse 3 and 4 it says, "He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away." What will your legacy be? The person who walks with the wise and fills their mind with wisdom will be blessed. I have the opportunity frequently to do retirement ceremonies. And so someone who's been in the Navy or the Marine Corps for 20 or 25 or sometimes 30 or even longer years of their life, and they have just a few moments in that ceremony to kind of encapsulate what 20 years of their life has been. And then they put their uniform on a hanger and they put it in the closet. They have a certificate that they put on their wall that says, "I served." And it represents a lot. But at some point, they have to think about what their legacy is beyond the Navy. And as I sit with Marines and sailors and some of their dark hours and difficult moments, I encourage them to think about life beyond the Navy, life beyond the Marine Corps. What will your legacy be? If it's simply the awards and the medals and the ribbons and things that we accumulate that mean something perhaps in the moment, but we don't make meaningful impact in people's lives, what is it really worth? The question for us is not, will I leave a legacy? But the question is, what will my legacy be? What will people see when they reflect on my life? In the book of Galatians, chapter 5, it tells us about the fruit of the Spirit. It tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against these things, there is no law. We can have as much goodness as we want to have. We can express as much kindness as we want to express. There's no law against that. As much peace, as much patience, as much joy, we can express as much of that as we want. And the wise person has a legacy that's built around the fruits of the Spirit. Building these things into people's lives around us. This is where some of my own theological perspectives come into play. I'm not necessarily looking for a big crowd of people to make a mass, decision for Christ. I'm looking for one person who's open to hearing about God's love and His faithfulness in their life. So everywhere I go, every day I walk through our spaces, I'm wondering what's going on in some person's life. And maybe there's somebody here today who finds themselves in a place where they need God's faithfulness. And they're open, maybe for the first time, to God's faithfulness and His role in their life. And those are the people that I want to come along beside. Those are the people that I want to invest my time in. Those people who are open in that moment or on that day to God's faithfulness in their life. And I have an opportunity to speak into their life. and to make a positive impact for Christ in their life. Jesus talks about this concept of our legacy in Matthew chapter 7. He talks about two men. One man who builds his house on the rock, and the other who built his house on the sand. And when the difficult storms of life came, the one whose foundation was firm withstood the storm. And for us, as Christians, as followers, having a legacy that is built on a firm foundation is crucial. If we build our legacy on shifting sands, when the storms and circumstances of life blow hard, it'll go away. But if it's built on the foundation, the solid rock, it'll stand. So as we think about this particular passage and what it means to live our best life, what it means to be blessed, these are the three questions we need to think about. What will my legacy be? What do I think about? And with whom will I associate? These are important questions for us all to consider. And as we close today, I want to just say a word of prayer, a blessing for you that would encourage you and send you out, and invite the worship team to come back up as well. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May your thoughts be filled to the fullness and the measure of God. May your associations be godly. And may your legacy be firm. Thank you.